Okay. Our speaker tonight is Gemma, and she's going to be speaking on column 4 of the resentment sheet. Over to you, Gemma.
Thank you, Darla, and thank you, Amy, for asking me to speak at this meeting. My name is Gemma, and I'm a compulsive overeater and a chaos creator. And it's so good to see some familiar faces. I hardly managed to get to this meeting, so it's really nice to see you all. Some faces I don't recognize, and you don't have to, but it'd be really lovely for any newcomers or anyone that hasn't done a VBA step four just to raise your hand. So hopefully I just get a bit conscientious that, thank you. Conscientious, I don't go into hopefully VBA jargon. So what I love about, so I've been asked to share on the resentment column 4, and what I love about the Big Book Awakening is, as you probably heard from the script, is that we take statements into the Big Book and we turn them around into questions. And so column 4 refers back to page 67 of the Big Book. And it's putting our minds the wrong others had done. We resortly looked for our own mistakes, whether we had been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking and frightened. Through a situation had not been entirely our fault, we tried to disregard the other person involved entirely. Where were we to blame? The inventory was ours, not the other man's. When we saw our faults, we listed them, we placed them before us in black and white, we admitted our wrongs honestly, and were willing to set these matters straight. So what I love about reading that out of the Big Book is that I like to personalize it as well. So I put them, I place them before me in black and white. And I think it's really quite an incredible exercise to write things out, because if things are kept in my head, I just go around the merry-go-round on the story, and I chew and chew on the story, and I compulsively overthink on the story, on the story, on the story. And so column 4 is, it talks about, for me, what I'm hearing from the Big Book is taking responsibility for my part in this resentment. And it's really, for me, it was a really spiritual experience to learn how to take responsibility and letting go of the toxic shame and blame. Like, oh yeah, okay, I resent them, it's all my fault anyway. And I really had those kind of voices, that kind of victim, like, oh, okay, well, I'll take responsibility. I resented initially a little bit column 4. And actually, when I was talking through the Big Book Awakening process, it was really a freeing process of, I looked at what was the cause. I looked at, obviously, column 1, who it was or what it was, looked at the cause. And I was told, I was like to make a statement, so I didn't go off in my story, which was really helpful. Column 3, how it really affected self-realization, like, have I also done this, or is there a form of this that I've done? And then the column 4 was really, I need to put aside the other person. And where I was very manipulative in column 4, I went into like the super therapist of like, oh no, but I understand why they act like this, because they had a poor childhood, or their wife just divorced them, or, you know, I was like, no, I am that tolerant. And I've just been very lucky to have really good sponsors. Like, no, okay, get honest. Let's look at this. Let's put the tolerant therapist blah, blah aside and really look at, you know, where are these behaviors are basically kept me imprisoned. Because when I have a resentment, I have a rationale behind it, like it's not really their fault, and I have all this reasonable tolerance around them, and my head believes that I can see that, but my heart doesn't. So I'm pulled between my head and my heart, and this really enables me for the heart side of me, I would say the wounded child inside of me, the wounded ego, to really have its space and to really give it some space. And as much as I've learned to do it for myself, and especially really learned a lot taking people through, sponsoring people through this, is to liberate a little bit the screaming child in me that really finds this situation unfair, that I want it to be or not. And self-seeking, I just really keep it simple, and I'm thinking, okay, where are my actions around this resentment? So I think I'll just take one of my latest example. I resented my partner because he was spending too much time on his studying, he works and he studies instead of spending it with me. Fair enough, resentment, right? So I had to really look at the actions of, because I hadn't dealt with this resentment, how was it spewing out in all these different directions? And I realized I was really holding on to trying to be supportive in his choice. But because it was spewing out and I was not addressing this resentment, I was starting to be intolerant, aggressive, snappy, dismissive about it, you know, putting him down, not necessarily very overtly, but, you know, just little bit by little bit, because, sometimes I get onto my spiritual horse. I'm like, no, I'm a spiritual person. I can't react that aggressively anymore. But it still kind of, sneaks out, that kind of emotional drunkenness. So I really had to get honest, like, okay, what are my actions around there? And then selfish attitude is one of my favorites, because I really go to town on this. And what I love about the Big Book Awakening process in the sheet, and don't worry if you haven't done it before, and if you want to do it, you know, it'll be explained beautifully to you, is that there's about 4 lines per section. And I really like to keep to these lines, because sometimes when I'm in the resentment, I'm also, it's very sometimes difficult to not go into the story. So this keeps me in a loving boundary of keeping to those lines and kind of just like, okay, once I've rattled on to the 4th line, it's like a loving boundary to stop. I think you've written it enough there. And what I love about the selfish attitude is that I'm a rageaholic. So when I resent something, it's like a volcano town in my head. It is swearing. It is cruel. It is, I mean, it's just, you know, the samurai sword just comes out, just slash, 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 a bit like scissorhands just all over the place. So for me, it's really a liberating place of just like, okay, get honest. This is really how you thought. And it's been really interesting because I mostly will work with English or American or Anglo people, but also work French. So I work with people that are Francophones. And it's a really interesting place of seeing the cultural difference. So when I work with a French sponsor, not a problem. They get their instruction and they're on to town and we're doing the swearing. When I work with an Anglo sponsee, there's a little bit more, there's some wantingness to kind of express a little bit that anger. And I think some of my Anglo sponsees, it's been a very liberating space where it's like, oh, I'm allowing myself to get angry. And so just in that space there and then, it was a really beautiful healing. It's like, yes, there's 4 lines, not maybe a whole page, but just a healing space of being really honest of what's the script that goes off in my head. And again, it's giving that honest place, but again with loving boundaries. And then it talks about the dishonesty and the fear, and it's in that order: self-seeking, the action, selfish, dishonesty, and fear. And this is just my personal way of doing it, and maybe in a year's time I'll be sharing on the same topic but completely different, in a different way. That's what I love about this process. You're always learning more. But I need to go in and write my fears first that I found out in column 3, and I write all my fears and I pray to God to show me where the dishonesty piece is, because I struggle to see the dishonesty, because it's trying to like see my own nose. I really struggle. That's why I need to work with others. And so I'm writing it out on my own, as much as when it's somebody else's resentment, when it's somebody else's stuff, I'm like, oh yeah, the dishonesty is this consideration. But when it's my own, I'm in my own poop. So I can't really see my poop. I'm overwhelmed by the smell and the amount of it. So for me, it's just a process of like, I get all the fears out and I'm praying to God. And then it just kind of comes, you kind of start hearing that intuition was, the delusion is this. And you know, sometimes I hit the mark and sometimes I don't, and that's why, you know, I'm going to share this with somebody and they will help me to get to see a lot of more light on this. And the delusion for me, for this one in my partner, is that the delusion that I had, the fear that was telling me, is that you have to love your partner no matter what choices he has in life, because if you don't support him, he will leave you. And so it was, you know, not something that I would say I was unaware of, but it was just interesting to see it in that particular piece and going, okay, right, I do feel my heart pulls towards that, but if I don't want to believe that, but I want to be free from that delusion. And again, you know, even though I will, you know, take some time, bring God in before I write a resentment, the whole point is to, I love working with others. And before I take a resentment to somebody, I don't choose, oh, I'm going to take it to that person. I used to do that and it didn't really work out. Sometimes it did. I got lucky. It was a bit like a Russian roulette, you know. But since I've gone into like prayer meditation, it doesn't have to be hours of prayer meditation, really just a moment to pause and think, okay, God, who do you want me to share this resentment with? And there'll be a name or a couple of names that come up. And most of the time it makes me cringe because it'll be people I don't really know. And like, you know, outreach is like uncomfortable. And okay, the more I do it, the more I get comfortable in it. Sometimes I'm really comfortable with it. Sometimes I'm really not. Again, when I'm powerless over, I bring my higher power into it. And every single time without fail, every time I've asked that God space, that intuition space, it's just gone to the right person. Surprisingly, I'm just like, whoa, okay, amazing. And I love that space because if it was just up to me, I would go to the people I am comfortable with, my sponsor, my usual guides. You know, there's some people I just love taking my step forwards to because every single time I do, there's just some incredible, beautiful awareness. So I just, by comfort, I just want to take it to them. But I always pray to God first, like, no, it's not going to be them this time. It's going to be this other person that you heard on a meeting 3 weeks ago that you don't know. You're like, okay, here you go. And I get this amazing friend experience. The one I still struggle with is, and maybe I'll struggle with for the rest, maybe I won't, depends, you know, I'm always open that, you know, recovery is just a beautiful in-depth learning process, is the harm. Do I see any harm that I have caused? And for me, why that's difficult is that whatever I'm resenting somebody for is that they've gone against a belief of mine, a principle I'm holding on to. It should be that way. This relationship should look like this. You know, neighbors shouldn't be rude to you because you're a neighbor in your community. Mothers should act like this. Fathers should act like that. And so the reason why I struggle that there's a harm is like there's a part of my heart, if you will, that refuses to look at, well, I would never do that to somebody, right? I think I had a resentment about answering messages and things like that. And I'm like, I don't do that. I would never do that. I used to do it. I don't do it anymore. So it's kind of, it's this injustice that I feel that's bumping against my ego's principles. And so the harm, I really struggle to see the clarity. But again, I ask God, like, okay, God, you know, I really, this is not just about my healing and my growth. This is also about learning to heal with others. So I put the harm down and then I'm just so grateful that I can take it to another fellow and they can help me get deeper in that place if I need to get deeper. And so for me, a step four, obviously, if I'm going through the 12 steps, yeah, I'll do my step four. But when I'm in 10, 11 and 12, when a 10 comes up and it comes up more than once, and because I'm a compulsive overthinker, if it comes up more than once, forget it. To go down and write down, and if I'm sitting on the pot thinking no it's okay, it's fine, and God, we're going to shift this, 3-4 days later I'll hear it in a meeting or I'll hear it in my life experience going, you need to write this. I'm like, okay, I'll write it. And then, like I said, I'll ask, okay, God, who do you want me to share it with? I'll share it with that person. So then that becomes a step five. And now don't stop just at step five. Even though it's been a single resentment, I look at my step six and seven. You know, my defects, then I'll spend maybe a couple of days or a week putting those defects into my step seven prayers and daily rituals, see what comes out of there. And I look, okay, is there step eight? Do I need to put this person on a card? And again, I've learned, and I personally love this process, like a step four. I do appreciate taking my step eight cards to someone, not deciding again in my own head with my sick head, oh yes, I'm going to make amends this way, or I'm not going to make amends that way. Again, that's it's like keeping a step four to yourself. For me, a step eight is a place to share. And so once I've done my column four, I've finished my resentments, and you know, I let the person just guide me whichever way they want to guide me. Some will give me consideration, some will help me to look at objectionables, but the principles and the defects will always be coming out, and they'll just be this amazing, like, awareness moment. It's not even something I necessarily understand. I don't need to understand it. It's just experiencing it. And then one of my sponsors, when they took me for a step four, ended up with these questions, and they just blew my mind. And it's something that I love to do with my sponsees, and I love to take deep. I will finish the step four, finish column four, and we'll look at back at the belief that we found in column three, but that really repeats itself clearly in the dishonesty piece, like, oh, you know, I've got to love my partner no matter what his choices. These are his life ambitions, so I have to support them no matter what, without, you know, any consideration or discussion. And the question will be, is this belief a lie? And in just that simple question, it'll just be a simple yes. Even though I can see my heart wanting to believe that, that ivy that's pumping out of my heart wants to believe it, there's this start of spiritual transcendence that starts happening and goes, yeah, I can see it's a lie. Do I believe it's a lie? No, but I can start seeing that that's what's keeping me imprisoned in this resentment. And what I've learned as well about resentment, if I resent this thing about Paul, I'm going to resent the same thing again and again and with Jack. You know, if I'm peed off with you about something that you've done, well, the next person that does something, I'm going to have that same resentment again. So at the end of the day, you know, it's really looking at what is the belief here that my ego is built to protect myself, but that actually today I feel that God's saying, hey, you don't need this belief anymore, kiddo. Let's get some freedom from it. Let's find some emotional sobriety here. And then the next question would be, well, if this is a lie, what is the spiritual truth? And again, that's something I can't answer with my head, right? God gave me a mind and a brain and its direction. It's a beautiful tool. But again, for me, that's not a question I ask myself. That is a question I ask God. Okay, God, if that's the lie, what's the spiritual truth? So it's really letting myself or the person just take a moment. Sometimes I'll just come out, but just taking a moment to reflect, you know, not necessarily have to answer these questions straight away. And the next question is, on your own power, can you see this is as good as it gets? And that question gets me every time. I'm like, wow, me without God, I look at that column four, that's what I look like. That's what I go around in the world acting and behaving. And I'm powerless. I can't stop that behavior, but I can see this is as good as it gets. And that's why I'm getting keen to take this to six and seven now, right? A really beautiful one that I find so healing in so many resentments, because, you know, I appreciate that, you know, personally in my experience and in others' experience, addiction is born in a root of a lot of trauma. And it says, can you forgive yourself? And that's a really big transformational question for me, because obviously I'm looking at things that I'm not proud of, that I've done or said that are making me cringe, things that I thought that are really, it's really ugly stuff. And it goes, yeah, you know, with God, I can find that peace in my heart. And that's a really interesting question, because, you know, there are some times where I've struggled to go, oh, do I forgive myself? Oh, I may need a little bit of support spiritually and from my fellowship to find that, to go deeper into looking at that. And it's so beautiful when you're taking somebody through. Thank you. When you're taking somebody through and you ask that question, can you forgive yourself? And they'll be like, oh, you know, can I forgive myself looking at that column four? Can I, you know, with God's power, let go of the toxic shame and just take a look at the accountability and responsibility and see this is what happens in this particular principle when I don't bring God in? And then I love this question. It's, are you willing for this to change? And the question is not, are you willing for you to change or for you to change this? For you to fix it, are you willing for it to change? And so, well, honestly, when I've looked at that column four, I don't hesitate very much to answer. I'm like, yes, take it away now. But again, it's finding that patience in six and seven with God, you know, in God's time, not in Gemma's time. And the last question that I absolutely love, what is the tape that needs to be erased? And that just, I remember the first time these questions just took my breath away, but that one really sat with me. And I love taking sponsees through those questions, because it's just this really beautiful, it feels like a really beautiful finale on the resentment, and really getting out of my own personal victimhood, oh, it's my fault anyway, or yes, no, I'm playing psychologist, or this, I understand this person because of this. It's really, you know, letting go of these two extreme behaviors that I have when I'm in self. And really, I feel these beautiful God-led questions really enable me to center myself and look at this behavior and not shy away from it or not be defensive about it, but just go, yeah, I accept, you know, I'm finding finally acceptance around this. And so when I come out of a resentment inventory, like I said, step four, I've done that step five with that person, like I said, if it's through the whole 12 steps or that single. And then, like I said, and I'll just finish on this, it is important in my heart to not just stop there, you know, to really look at, okay, let's look at this. And what I love with the Big Book Awakening process is that it taught me so beautifully to go in depth with my 10, 11 and 12. That it taught me to not sit for too long on my, I don't sit on my resentments. I'm a human being, of course I do. You know, I think I'm not. And then I'm like, thanks God, I got the message, I am. You know, we're going to write this. And it's just a really freeing place of when I then do a full set of 12 step, I don't have a truckload of 20, 30 resentments, which by the way is normal and natural when we're new or we haven't done them for a while. And it's just such a beautiful place of, yes, I'm always have resentments. It's my agnostic side. It's the side of my human being. But it's just this beautiful spiritual discipline that by on my own power, I'm incapable of any discipline. Like it says in step 11 in the Big Book, you know, God did teach me discipline, that's for sure. And really loving boundaries, beautiful discipline. So it took me, you know, quite a few rounds of BBA and recovery to learn all of this. I did not learn this in my first round of BBA. I think it really took like a couple of years and a couple of rounds to really be in a place of surrender, going, right, I'm writing this. And the last thing I'll say, it takes a lot less time to write than I was thinking. I was like, oh my gosh, I've got to sit down and I've got to write this and then I've got to reach out. It's got time that I... And actually, if I just sit down there and there, it's just so beautiful to just like, okay, it's out. So I've only pretty much explained resentment, my experience on resentment with people. Obviously, there's, you know, looking at it from a principle perspective, I think is a really beautiful way. When I've seen in my fear grid that there's some principles that come out, I think my column four really comes to life as well, looking at all those different delusions. But again, the end of the day, what I really love is to be able to ask my higher power and say, right, who do you want me to share this poop with? Who's willing to see this poop? And it works, that's all I can say. So thank you for having me here tonight. It's amazing to be at this meeting. So yeah, thank you. I'll leave it there.
Thank you, Gemma. Thank you. I'll stop the recording now. So just to remind everyone, we only record this